Thanks. And often when we focus on violence that women and girls experience, we focus, of course, rightly on interpersonal violence. However, I'd like to draw us back to the fact that although formal colonialism is over, coloniality is still thriving. Racism, homophobia, transphobia, ableism, classism, and extreme social insecurity, especially at this time of COVID, continues to harm people across the world. And many people have negative and poor health outcomes related specifically to mental health because of these structural and systemic systems of oppression that they continue to live under every day. Now, violence against women and girls touches the lives and livelihoods of women everywhere. It negatively affects women's health. It impedes their ability to participate fully in society and affects their enjoyment of sexual and reproductive health rights. And in many countries across the world, we've seen regression, particularly in abortion laws, that makes it even more difficult to access safe abortion procedures. In many cases, women and girls have been denied their rights, resulting in severe mental effects from the obstruction of being able to get services. The mental health impact, of course, has been heightened as many girls and women are abused by people they know. With lockdown and movement restrictions, many victims of gender-based violence could not seek support. We know that prevention measures have not been resourced enough to yield the results of prevention of violence. Therefore, even those in community-based and individual-run shelters were hard to reach for many survivors. In countries that don't recognize people's full sexual and reproductive rights, those who seek and punish certain patients for the care that they need and fear of carrying unsupportable and unwanted pregnancies cause a lot of mental strain for patients who are being left with no option but to seek unsafe abortion. And the obstacles that many have faced in this time of COVID-19 are further elaborated in my current General Assembly report. And in many regions around the world, sexual and reproductive health services were not listed as essential, causing much anxiety, uncertainty about when and where to seek services. And many countries saw a militarization of the pandemic, and young people particularly were at risk of arrest or exposing their health needs just for leaving their homes to seek care. And in many parts of the world, we know that many facilities are far away from people's homes. The issue of commodities, for example, contraceptive stockouts, is also a big issue because it has contributed to the continuing unmet need for family planning options for millions around the world. It's also important for me to locate the issue of access to sexual and reproductive services as a rights issue, and that the service itself cannot be separated from the rights that are protected, and that the obligations of states are to respect, fulfill, and to promote rights, and through their operations, their administration, and how they then plan for health services delivery, it's important that they remember the key principles of acceptable, accessible, affordable, and quality care. And this requires healthcare providers who themselves are trained, who are ethical, who understand their role as human rights defenders, and are themselves recipients of mental health support, especially at this time of the pandemic. The unrelenting loss of patients and the dangerous working conditions has been unprecedented for many healthcare workers around the world. So as we think about the general community and the population and their impact and the negative impact on their mental health, we have to talk about resourcing and providing accessible care for many essential services and first responders around the world.
Great. Thank you so